Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe here on the show today with you all this weekend. Happy to have you listening in with us. And the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Sometimes we butt heads with management and clients over content. Well, not our clients, the clients of the Main Street Radio Network, but we do appreciate the First Amendment support that we get nonetheless from the company. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can also find them on social media, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, on Twitter at Main Street Radio. And you know what? While you're out there, why don't you check out all of our programs? You can find them all, again, at mainstreetradionetwork.com, The Silk or Joe Show, The Alan Nathan Show, and you can find out about The Alan Nathan Show at alannathan.com, and also on Twitter at Alan Nathan. And, oh, let's not forget Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N. We are, the Main Street Radio Network is posting on there now, under their at Main Street Radio Network. So good kudos to them for getting on board Wimkin. And now we also are on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. All right, rushed through all those introductions. That's because I have a guest sitting here waiting in the wings. We are joined now by Ray McGinnis. He is a Canadian religious scholar, teacher, and author of the Amazon bestseller, Unanswered Questions, What the September 11th Families Asked and the 9/11 Commission Ignored. Ray McGinnis, happy to have you back on the show after like 2 years. How are you today?
I'm very well. Good to speak with you this morning, Joseph.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, really good to be here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess in the time since we've last spoke, because that was at the end of September 2021, Joe Biden, at the beginning of that month, he had issued an executive order declassifying certain 9/11 documents. Did anything come from that?
Well, I mean, you know, there was this story about CIA and involvement with two of the hijackers who were involved in the attack on the plane into Washington D.C. In the Pentagon, and the CIA has withheld that information from the FBI, who part of the sleeper cell in San Diego. So I mean that was one of the things that was brought out more, and it's frustrating for families. Different agencies withholding vital information to one another, that's certainly one of the things that continues to trouble the family. I think another thing related to the matter of Afghanistan, the families, they put together many hundreds of questions for the 9/11 Commission to address, and most of those questions were never addressed, and they're still waiting for a commission to have answered the question that they wanted posed to President Bush, which was, please discuss the National Security Presidential Directive presented for your approval on September 9th, 2001, which outlined plans for attacking al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And, the families don't want to read into it, they don't want to assume what the answer to the question or what the explanation is. They just wonder about things like that, and so it's a real puzzle for the family 22 years later.
Well, it's now a puzzle, I guess, for everybody after the invasion of Afghanistan. It's something that everybody should know, given how we spent 20 years in that country, and well, not exactly 20, but still. We spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, and a lot of people died now, so there's a lot more families involved in this, not just 9/11 families that are really affected by what happened. And, whole industries cropped up around Afghanistan, too, and the war that was going on there. So this had very far-reaching consequences. It's something everybody should have the answer to.
Well, certainly. I mean, there are Canadian families in Afghanistan. I know people I've spoken with who were Canadian Armed Forces that were in Afghanistan. And, I mean, the families that I wrote about, the Family Steering Committee for the 9/11 Independent Commission, who knew dozens of people who represented thousands and thousands of families that wanted to have an investigation. I mean, during, you know, the 9/11 Commission, had put out their report in 2004, and there are five key chapters, five, six, and seven chapters, that that have to do with the story about the planning of the attacks by Al-Qaeda and the delivery of the attacks and the financing. And one of the key people involved in that testimony was a person called Abu Zubaydah, I think if you pronounce his name. And he was a man who was who gave his testimony to the CIA, you know, I think in Guantanamo. And his testimony came about after 83 waterboarding sessions, hanging upside down in the ceiling, climbing up against a concrete wall, and so on, and other torture techniques. And that was part of the key, his tortured testimony was part of three chapters in the 9/11 Commission. And then later on, the government said, like in about 2009, oh, this man, Zubaydah, he had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda at all. And so for the families, it's like what can they trust? Like, it seems like people don't have their ducks in a row, or don't have their, you know, information in place. Lee Hamilton was the co-chair of the 9/11 Commission, and would refer to Zubaydah, around the time of the 9/11 Commission. But when the embarrassing information about Zubaydah actually having nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, and here's this guy who's been, waterboarded 83 times, but actually had no information at all, apparently, Hamilton tells a reporter, about 8 or 9 years later, I'm a little fuzzy on this, but the information's not critical to our report, even though in the 9/11 Commission report, Zubaydah cited quite often. So if I didn't lose anyone on September 11th, but if, as a family member, one of the things that they want to do is they want to come to peace with the story they've been told. There are numbers of families that from the start have accepted the official account by the Bush administration, and there's others that have lingering doubts about, something being covered up or a deception of some sort. And they're, in the news or dribbled out over many years, it sort of opens up a wound, because they think, well, we thought when we read the commission report that this testimony from Guantanamo was reliable, and now here this guy, Abu Zubaydah, didn't have anything to do with Al-Qaeda. So what about that? So it's confounding for families.
Yeah, and you'd think that at some point we would have, somebody in America at least would have looked into it. You know, it's crazy to me, no offense, but we're relying on foreign national you to coming in and trying to ask these questions and writing books about it. It's like, well, why aren't we doing it? Why isn't anyone in the U.S.? Why aren't any journalists here doing any investigations into this?
Yeah, well, I mean, Kristen Breitweiser, whose husband Ron died in the South Tower, wrote a really important memoir back in 2006 called it was called "Wake Up Call: The Political Education of a 9/11 Widow," and it's a great memoir that talks about her journey and how she and another dozen families went to the almost all the members of Congress and the Senate and banged on the doors and said, we need to have a 9/11 investigation into what happened to make the nation safe. And the majority of those 12 people who were family members who sat through the whole 9/11 commission, they were, the majority of them voted Republican. They voted for President Bush. So there's her book. But, I would ask people if they knew about who she was, I would say, do you know who Kristen Breitweiser is, or Monica Gabrielle, whose husband Richard died, or Sally Regenhardt, whose son died, and Patty Cassazzi, whose husband John died, and so on. And people just stare at me blankly. They don't know the names of these people. in America's history, you know, a lot of people know who Rosa Parks is and what happened with civil rights. But I think that this story is a really important story for your own country's history, to know this courageous story of citizen advocacy. Because I can tell you, when most people suffer a devastating loss, especially if it's something as monumental as dying in a collapsing building, most people just want to go away and live their private lives. They don't want to talk to reporters. They don't want to get involved with politicians and try and change things. So it's a really important story to know about.
All right, Babe McGinnis, thank you very much for being on the Silk or Joe Show today to talk about this. And listeners, again, his book, Unanswered Questions, What the September 11th Families Asked and the 9/11 Commission Ignored, Amazon bestseller, so you can find it on Amazon. Add to that list.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
Jorge Gaviria is the founder and owner of Masienda, a supplier of high-quality masa products. Masienda's mission is to carry on the tradition of one of the world's most important crops and empower chefs and home cooks to make the best masa-based dishes in their own kitchens. Jorge can now be seen in a new Capital One business commercial, highlighting how his Spark Cash Plus card helped him grow the business. Jorge Gaviria.
With a Capital One Spark Cash Plus card's unlimited 2% cash back, I invest in research and development for new products that help us grow. It even helped me create and publish a best-selling masa cookbook, providing a guide to using masa at home.
Capital One's Spark Cash Plus card enables small businesses to earn unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases. And with no preset spending limit, Spark Cash Plus cardholders have more flexibility with purchasing power that adapts to their needs based on spend, payments, credit profile, and other factors. For more, visit CapitalOne.com.
Spring is here, time to get out of the gym and take your workout outdoors. Whether you're walking, running, swimming, or biking, it's important to have a proper warm-up routine to prevent injuries. Five-time Ironman triathlon world champion Craig Crowe Alexander has some advice.
Sprains, strains, and injuries can happen to any athlete. Even a minor injury can affect your performance and derail your fitness routine. One of the best ways to try and prevent injuries is to make sure you prepare properly.
Alexander recommends always starting with a 10 to 15 minute dynamic warm-up.
Activation exercises combined with some dynamic movements like lunges are great for warming up. Focus on one specific movement at a time until you feel ready to go. Be sure to listen to your body and use proper support gear when needed to protect yourself and prevent injury.
The Curad Performance Series Ironman lineup includes rugged supports, wraps, kinesiology tape, bandages, and analgesics to support you on your fitness journey. For more, go to Curad.com.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So if you were paying attention, at least to my social media feed, our social media feed, it's for the show. I'm just the one who posts there. You would have seen that I guest hosted the Al and Nathan show earlier this week. And on the program, we were talking about revelations about Devin Archer and also how an indictment against Trump immediately followed. So this segment might start out sounding familiar to you all, but actually there is plenty of new information that I've gotten between when I guest hosted and when I'm doing the show right now. So let's get down into it, shall we? For those who were not paying attention this week or who relied on me for their news this week, thank you very much. But also, what happened was on Monday, you had Hunter Biden's alleged best friend and also business associate, Devin Archer. He comes to Congress, he testifies, the transcript was finally released, and boy, did he have a lot of information to say. Pretty much painted the picture that everyone knew already, but this time under oath while testifying to Congress. So legally speaking, if he was lying, they could go after him. And we'll see if Democrats decide to do that, because after all, that's been their whole thing so far, right? Well, it's a lie that Joe Biden had all these ties and all this corruption. Well, here's this guy saying under oath that it happened. You gonna go after him? Because you say it's a lie. We'll see. But what Devin Archer came out with was, you know, filling in some holes here, like saying Burisma, for example, would have gone bankrupt if it weren't for Joe Biden's influence. And he also confirmed the story about the prosecutor, the Ukrainian prosecutor who was looking into Burisma, who got fired by because of Joe Biden's actions as vice president, and, you know, all the corrupt ties that were involved with that. So also a lot of things that we learned that day. And what happened next? Well, Trump was indicted, of course. In fact, there's a certain pattern to that. If we could have clip 4, please, to illustrate this.
You know, they do this every time something bad happens. They come up with another indictment. March 16th, Jamie Comer reveals Biden's family payments. Then a few weeks later, April 4th, Trump's New York criminal indictment. That was the Alvin Bragg fiasco. Then later in the spring, June 8th, Republican views Biden's bribery 1023 form. Okay, the GOP unleashed that. The next day on the 9th, we had Trump's classified documents indictment about Mar-a-Lago. In the summertime, just a few days ago, July 26th, we get the Hunter plea deal blows up in Wilmington, Delaware. And guess what? All of a sudden, Trump has to face additional charges from Jack Smith about covering up tapes and having the maintenance guy. I mean, come on. Yesterday's deposition was very devastating for the Bidens. So today, all of a sudden, lo and behold, they're going to come up with some makeup indictment for January 6th that will hold absolutely no legal water.
All right, that was Larry Kudlow from Fox Business. He was discussing the timing of all these indictments coinciding with different things with Hunter Biden. I will just add something. He mentioned how March 16th, some bad news came out about Hunter Biden. So then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, the New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg, Democrat, he came out with charges against Trump. Now, the chiming of Alvin Bragg's charges actually did coincide with even more revelations about Hunter Biden. Happened the same day, as a matter of fact. So, a lot of coincidences, doing air quotes around that word, surrounding when Trump is indicted. And I will also add that three of those indictments that Larry Kudlow mentioned were done by Jack Smith, the special counsel who instigated these charges earlier this week against him. Now, as for these charges about January 6th, well, boy, they are interesting, aren't they? They're accusing Trump, of course, of generating the riot, because they're saying that, well, he said things and then people rioted based on things he said. Therefore, he's the one responsible. That is, he didn't tell them to go out and riot. He never said that. But because he made inflammatory statements about the electoral process and people decided to take action to save the electoral process, that means Trump is somehow guilty of what these people decide to do that he didn't actually tell them to do. So, I guess it's the sort of word association games that they played with Alex Jones, how they managed to get him fined for billions of dollars over when he was, you know, saying that the Sandy Hook school shooting was just an act, and then people started harassing the families of the Sandy Hook victims, and then the courts decided, well, we're going to say Alex Jones is responsible for this, and it's all his fault, even though he never actually told them to go harass people. And they're just doing that with Trump, I guess, now that precedent has been set. But here's the thing, though. On January 6th, we have some more information coming out now that Tucker Carlson from Fox News, elite of Fox News, his final interview that Fox News refused to air, it was with ex-Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund. And he told them, or he told Tucker that, well, they knew in advance, General Mark Milley, Nancy Pelosi, they knew in advance something was going to happen that day. They chose not to do anything. So really looked like a setup. The FBI issued a report January 5th, the day before the riot, that said, hey, there's going to be stuff going on that day. And then sure enough, what happens January 6th, Nancy Pelosi has her daughter on hand with a camera to film for whatever the heck reason that they were filming for, documentary or whatever that was aired last year. So I would say that it definitely looked like a setup, not to mention all the federal agents that were in the crowd that day. Gee whiz, there was a New York Times Pulitzer Prize winning reporter who admitted that there were so many federal agents in the crowd that he didn't feel in danger at all. And he called the other journalists who claimed to feel in danger a bunch of weenies, basically, because they felt endangered even though there were so many federal agents in the crowd. So there's a lot there to indicate this was just a government setup. But of course, these indictment charges against Trump, they don't really take that into account. In fact, they're trying to say that because Trump dared to exercise his First Amendment rights, he's guilty because he said something that the government disapproves of, and then people rioted or something. Even though, again, Trump never actually said, hey, go start a riot. He said, protest peacefully. That's all he ever said. But here's the thing, though. You have Democrats out there denying the elections. Gateway Pundit assembled a video of 24 minutes of them denying elections. You have Democrats out there calling for violence. I've played before on this show last week, I think. 2 minutes of clips of Democrats calling for violence. Violence followed those calls for violence by Democrats. How come they aren't being indicted? In fact, they have a more direct link to their statements and the actions of others than Trump had, because Trump said, hey, peacefully protest this, you're Americans, calm down, be peaceful. And then that's what he said during his speech. And then as the violence was starting to happen, he tweeted out, hey, don't do this, what are you doing? So that's several times where Trump is against violence. He's not calling for any of this stuff, yet he's indicted for it. Meanwhile, Democrats who called for violence, who said the violent protests weren't going to stop, never were going to stop, they're out there roaming free. People died because of what these Democrats said. 25 people died during the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests. And let's not forget how many Republicans have been killed by Democrats over the years. The Bernie Sanders shooter, the guy who hopped into his truck and ran over an 18-year-old because the 18-year-old was a Trump supporter. There's the dude who was watching too much CNN and opened fire out in Colorado. Come on, there's a lot of stuff. Probably that trans mass shooter at the Christian school earlier this year. And then there was that mass shooter in Louisville, Kentucky, who actually said they did this for gun control, for the sake of gun control, because the media so radicalized the dude. And we're being told, nothing that the Democrats say that led to these actions will be indicted. But Trump, who called for peaceful protests and demonstrations, that's what you get indicted for. So that is the state of our Department of Justice, I guess. If you're an enemy of the Democrat Party, you're an enemy of the United States government.
This Men's Health Month, we encourage men to take care of their largest organ, their skin. Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows, and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks, and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis, affecting multiple areas of his body, including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with 5 different tubes and bottles of topical medicine to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, Reflumilast cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here to you this weekend with you, all of you. So, yesterday, Senate Office Buildings had quite a... Why did I say yesterday? This week went by fast. Wednesday, the Senate Office Buildings had quite a scare. Allegedly, an armed man with body armor somehow breached security and opened fire inside. Police found no one. I'm going to go ahead and say it's because there was no one, and that's the general consensus, actually, because from police. So then, why would a threat be called in like that? Well, look at the timing. An hour prior to that, Tucker Carlson had aired his Devin Archer interview on Twitter. Now, keep in mind what we just went over in the last segment. Indictments had been timed to Devin Archer's testimony, so maybe this was thrown in too. Then again, maybe someone just wanted unrestricted access to unsecured computers for a few minutes in the Senate office buildings. Perhaps someone who wanted to edit or erase Devin Archer's testimony. Remember, Congress went on vacation a week ago. It was all over the news that Congress was out of session, especially in the countdown to it, where they always have that drama about, will this bill pass? Will this or that pass? So anyone that would have been pissed off enough to grab a rifle and go after a senator would have seen this coverage and seen that his targets weren't in the building. So that means what else could they possibly have been there for? You know, because it's 5 days after their prime targets left for home and we're all obviously safe. So we have a shooter declared when there's no good targets. We have no sign of the shooter. We have a distraction, in other words. Now, it remains to be seen whether it was for office computers or Devin Archer or both, or perhaps it was for other revelations that came out around that same time. They were just hoping to that the story would take away from all of that, because, again, the Tucker Carlson stuff came out yesterday as well, not just the Devin Archer testimony, but also what I mentioned in the last segment about the Capitol Hill police officer. So who knows, maybe Capitol Hill police was trying their own little distraction. So when their former chief of police testimony about January 6th being a setup came out, you know, there'd be a nice distraction about a shooter still on the Capitol. I don't think it worked. Or maybe it did. Who knows? I doubt media outlets would have been prone to covering that testimony anyway. So it was probably an unnecessary attempt at a smokescreen. But speaking of unnecessary attempts at smokescreens, let's get to this indictments against Trump that came out earlier this week. So the judge who's overseeing this case is an Obama donor and worked at the same law office as Hunter Biden. And boy, has she been harsh on January 6ers. She's one of the reasons why a Black Lives Matter executive director declared solidarity with January 6 inmates. Now, you know you've crossed the line as a black female Democrat, as this judge is, when you're so harsh that Black Lives Matter turns on you. And coincidentally, Obama privately warned Joe Biden about Trump's massive popularity and promised he would do everything possible to help Biden get reelected, allegedly according to the Washington Post. So that's not really much of a conspiracy. And shortly after that meeting, guess what? Trump's indicted by the federal government. Interesting how that works out. Now, all this timing works out. And also how Obama went into that meeting with Joe Biden, apparently with full knowledge of that Devin Archer testimony that was coming up too. So suddenly this indictment from an Obama donor comes up. And this Obama donor who happened to work at the same law office, well, not indictment, sorry, the judge overseeing Trump's January 6th case, just coincidentally happens to be an Obama donor who worked at Hunter Biden's law office. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it's Washington, D.C. There can't be that many people up there who don't know each other and certainly don't know Hunter Biden at this point, because that was Joe Biden's principal means of spreading his influence through his son. So, I don't know, maybe there's a lot more people up there that are on the take from the Biden family. Who knows? But this is hardly the judge that you want, especially given the circumstances where the case so clearly exists only because of the Hunter Biden revelations by Devin Archer. That's the reason why this stuff was rushed as it was, and why Jack Smith's case is so full of holes, so messed up, and so damaging to the First Amendment. Now, we see Bill Barr's true colors. You remember Bill Barr? He was the attorney general under Trump who, stuck a knife in his back shortly thereafter. Well, now he's saying that the latest Trump indictment isn't about free speech, even though the whole freaking case is about free speech. The whole freaking case centers on Trump saying things that the government doesn't like. Okay? Nothing that actually would have sparked a riot on its own, mind you. No, he didn't say... Again, he didn't say go out and be violent. He never said anything of the kind. But that is the center, the crux of this case that they have against him. That somehow his words motivated, or somehow his words were deliberately intended to trigger riots. They weren't. He never said to do it. He outright said do the opposite. But that's not good enough, apparently. And all it takes is just saying things that the government disagrees with, in order for you to be prosecuted. And Bill Barr is coming out showing his true color, saying, yes, this is a good thing. No, it's not. And now you have this this judge who's friendly with the Obamas overseeing this case. So no matter how rushed, full of holes, no matter how many falsehoods are in there, you know, I went over earlier this week one of the falsehoods that was in the case, how they declare that one of the lies that Trump was spreading was that, by the way, this is what the indictment was over, Trump spreading lies. How are you going to get indicted for spreading lies? Does that mean every politician in D.C. is about to face an indictment? I'm still waiting for Obama to get indicted over shovel-ready jobs not being shovel-ready. Over, if you like your plane, you will be able to keep it, right? You know, he hasn't been indicted over that yet, so why is Trump facing an indictment? Or how about that 24 minutes of Democrats saying that elections were stolen, followed by riots after Trump won, and riots at Trump's inauguration, and riots in between because Trump won, okay? Where are the indictments for that? Where are the indictments for Democrats storming state capitals, pushing state legislators out of their state capitals because Democrat politicians said, hey, you have a right to riot, so go riot? So I'm waiting for the indictments for all that. You're not going to get them because apparently that's protected speech because it's pro-Democrat party. And that's where we're at right now. And Bill Barr, he's showing that he's, I guess, part of the Democrat party. Because that's certainly what he's supporting. That's what this whole case is about. Trump said things the Democrat Party didn't like. Now he's being indicted for it. That's all there is to it. That's what the indictment centers on. So now they've got him going before this judge who's so hardcore leftist, apparently. And I really, even if the case is as full of holes as all these legal experts are claiming, that ain't going to move that judge, okay? She is not going to care. She is going to convict. Trump's going to have to appeal this. There's no question about it. So when you hear Democrats cheering, oh, look, he got convicted. Yeah, it's because you got one of your own judges who doesn't give a crap about the law or the Constitution giving the conviction. It's a kangaroo court. It's a show trial. Of course there's going to be a conviction. I doubt that they would have done this if they didn't expect to get a conviction from this judge. That's why they picked her. So they're going to get what they paid for on this one. And then it's going to get overturned, and they're going to say, oh, it's the radical far-right Supreme Court that overturned it or some garbage like that, when really, no, it's just rule of law and First Amendment rights. Because now, maybe in the interim, though, maybe you all can do something about it. Maybe we can do something about this, right? So in the interim, when Trump is convicted for saying things that people decided to interpret in a certain way to riot, well, can't we then sue Democrats over what they've said that led to riots? That will be the precedent. That legal precedent will be established. Even while it's being challenged, it will still have been established, at least for that short time before it gets overturned. Maybe that's the time to strike. Maybe we should all be getting our lawyers ready, because I'm sure a lot of people out there have been hurt by the Democrats and their calls for violence. Emotionally, loss of business because they got burned down, something. So certainly a lot of people have more right, especially given how strenuously stretched this indictment is against Trump. Certainly a lot of people have a more direct right to sue over these sorts of grounds that they're going for in this indictment. And boy, Jack Smith, the guy who brought it, he's the sort of incompetent hatchet man that you want if you're going to try and butcher the law, right? He, as I mentioned on the Al Nathan Show earlier this week, he botched the case against two Democrats, seemingly deliberately, because, well, they're on their side. They just want to look like they're holding their own accountable when they actually aren't. And then when it came to two Republicans, he actually managed to secure convictions, but then they got overturned later on because he's an idiot. So he is, and he also, don't forget, in 2014, 2015, when people dared, conservative organizations dared to complain that the IRS was targeting them for audits unfairly, Jack Smith decided to try and find legal grounds to prosecute them. That's right. The IRS starts abusing you. You complain about it. Jack Smith comes along and says, well, you know what? Because you dared to complain about the federal government abusing you, the federal government's going to abuse you even more, and I'm going to see to it personally. So this guy is a partisan hack, absolute hardcore Democrat activist. No wonder that he got this job, right? because he's willing to throw his legal career out the window, his legal reputation out the window, if it means helping his mother party. Sickening how much of this crap has infiltrated the Department of Justice. We do not have equal justice in this country. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
Together with One Knoxville SC, PetSafe is thrilled to collaborate and create fields of joy for players, pets, and families in the selection of the pro soccer team's inaugural official mascot. To make this experience truly extraordinary, PetSafe has partnered with Young Williams, one of the largest animal shelters in the country, to create their Unleash the Mascot program. This program will profile rescue dogs and allow fans to vote for their favorites. As we search for forever homes for all six dogs, one lucky pup will be chosen by fans to become the team's official mascot and will be placed in a loving forever home with a One Knox team member. Starting on July 18th, fans can actively participate in the mascot voting process by visiting at PetSafe Instagram channel to cast their vote before July 21st at noon Eastern Standard Time. With this program, PetSafe is also challenging other teams across the United States to transform their fields into spaces of joy by hosting pet adoptions and events that unleash joy for pets and their families. Sponsored by PetSafe.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. so there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So, I think it was last week that I was mentioning how the Obama's private chef has seemed to have left this shed his mortal coil under severely suspicious circumstances, I might add. You know, he's first of all, there's all these mixed reports about what he was actually doing, and then it turns out somehow he drowned in 8 feet of water despite being a great swimmer. And on top of all of that, Barack Obama himself was seen shortly thereafter looking kind of beat up himself. Kind of weird circumstances there, but joining us now, we have Susan Daniels, president of Susan Daniels & Associates. She is also author of The Rubbish Hauler's Wife versus Barack Obama. Susan, happy having the show. How are you today?
Oh, fine. Thank you very much. Can I just quickly add that my book's only available at Amazon.com?
Certainly. Well, tell us about the book.
I actually wrote it because I wanted to bring back to people the knowledge that Barack Obama has been using a stolen Connecticut Social Security number since his mid-20s. And, you know, he's trying to tell everybody what to do now, like with this thing with the librarians telling him not to ban any books and things. And he thinks that everybody should listen to him. And the truth is no one should listen to him because he's a pathological liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe his chef found out about that and ended up being on the wrong end of Obama's bruised knuckles right now. But it's very it's disturbing that, you know, someone can get away as far as he did, especially with, you know, a forged Social Security number, as you said. Like, how did he get this far in life? Like, no one, he has had to run against political candidates on many sides. He had to run against his own side in primaries, not just for president, but for senator and for his state level roles too. No one at any point figured this out.
They knew it all. They always knew it. I sued in 2012 in my county. I sued the Ohio Secretary of State trying to keep him off the ballot for the presidential race because of that. And I had included 83 pages of documents proving he was using an illegal number, and sent it off to Donald Trump. And no, he got it because I had talked to his attorney, and the attorney says, send it over. And I did. So everybody knew that he was a phony. It's just that I don't know if everybody was afraid of being called a racist if they attacked him on it, if he was set up as the Manchurian candidate. But everybody knew, because I informed in 2012 also, I informed every senator and congressman who was hot, well known in the country. You know, like I sent him copies of the lawsuit. I sent it to Cruz. I sent it to Trey Gowdy. I sent it to Marco Rubio. I sent it to everybody you could think of, and not a single person ever responded to me.
I've done my share of sending letters to senators myself. To be fair, some of their staff might have intercepted it and never actually made it to the politician.
I went this far. I sent a copy of the 103-page lawsuit to their homes.
Oh.
And then I called their offices and warned them that a large manila envelope would be coming, what was in it, and I just wanted to alert them so that no one thought that there was anything untoward going on.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't send because I know they don't get anything that you send to their office.
Yeah, I've seen just so many form letter responses, but wow. So really, a lot of people have been ignoring this issue. I mean, did they just, I don't think
oh,
you were
yeah,
a crank
totally.
And knife and read the darn thing the moment they saw the first words on it? Because it's been the whole topic of Obama being possibly Kenyan or whatever, that's just been dismissed out of hand, or you're a racist, as you mentioned, that's been one of the charges against it. It's like, it seems like no one wants to take it seriously.
Well, I'll tell you what, what's in my book is, I think I figured out where he was actually born. And it was definitely not Kenya, and it was definitely not Hawaii. And I started thinking about it because I found a letter in Barack Obama Sr.'s immigration file. And in it said, in an interview, he told somebody there that that his wife, who I don't believe he ever married because he was married when he got to Hawaii, he was already married with kids in Kenya, that his wife was making arrangements with the Salvation Army to give the baby up for adoption. And I started thinking, nobody saw her pregnant in Hawaii. There's not a single picture of her the whole time she was pregnant, or did anybody see her there. So I started trying to figure out where she could have gone. And the only place that made sense was back to Seattle, where she came from. And then I started looking around for Salvation Army homes for unwed mothers, and found one in Vancouver, British Columbia, that was only about 125 miles away from Mercer Island, where she was raised, and believed that that's where he was born. Now, I talked to an employee that worked there 5 years after he was born. And I said, well, what about the records from there? And she said, oh, well, there was a fire in the early 90s, and all the records were destroyed. And I thought, how convenient. The truth is, I don't think he actually has a birth certificate. That's why they had to make one up.
That's an interesting possibility. And, yeah, I don't know why they didn't just go with that story, really, and to counteract Kenya narrative, because that's a lot more... That's a lot more humble of a beginning than he's been given.
Oh, yeah. And the truth is, I just figured it out. Nobody else took the time or looked through the immigration file like I did. And if in fact I'm right, and he was born in Vancouver, he has never been a U.S. citizen.
Well, I'm not sure about so. I thought that thing situation had arisen with like Ted Cruz, that his parents were U.S. citizens but gave birth in another country. So
but his mother was a citizen, mm-hmm. and but the rule is, even if you are a citizen, if you're a woman and you give birth in a foreign country, you have to be 5 years past the age of 14. And she was only 4 years and 9 months past the age of 14 when he was born.
All right. That tears it then for Barack Obama. And we can find out more about this in The Rubbish Hauler's Wife versus Barack Obama. And you said the book was available where?
At Amazon.com.
All right, Susan Daniels, appreciate you being on The Silker Joe Show. Listeners, thank you for tuning in this weekend as well. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.